AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Very good. I feel as though, I know you kind of thought, where's he gone? And it went silent for a while. But I just thought when you listen to the reverb time at the end of that piece, along with the ping.
The reverb time?
Yeah, the reverb time at the end of that little, look, this bit here, right?
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Is people wandering the corridors?
The reverb time is the amount of time it takes for the sound to die.
Oh, right. Okay, well, we've all learned something there, haven't we?
Thank you. I think so.
Well, I think Matt's learned something. Yeah. I think everyone else knew what that was.
Anyway, another batch of confessions coming up. Sister Susie's in the house.
I am indeed.
Not in the pub. Brother Matt is still wherever he is.
Yeah, that's me.
And Sister Holly is in the tat cupboard.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Also later, going to visit. I love the way you made that. Have attitude, because you were just like answering the register, but already you have more sass than anyone else.
Oh, sass. Thanks. Yeah.
Sass. Going to visit sass.
Parish notice board. Also give you a taste of some of the confessions that didn't quite make the cut because of Susie's act of being the top censor in the country. Mm-hmm. It'll be the confessions that aren't for broadcast. Plus, you also get to hear, obviously, all this week's confessions from the rather fabulous Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio 4 till 7 Monday to Friday, but we only do the confessions Monday to Thursday because of the All Request.
That's true.
Including
production notes.
Thank you. Well done. Including Ronald's Booze Cruise, The Smuggler's Blues, Nobby's Poultry Pandemonium, Hold a Chicken in the Air, Stick a Deck Chair Up Your Nose. That's a very good title.
It is, yeah.
Mummy Sarah's Confession, I Love Your Smile.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But first, we head to the local newsroom for Bill's Brother's Tale. We hope you will enjoy the show.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Father Simon and the Salvation Collective. I wrote to you a few years back seeking forgiveness, and frankly, it was not fully forthcoming. Huh. What I regarded as a perfectly handled situation drew some quite heavy flack. So, I do feel that despite this, I need to seek forgiveness for my brother and a series of events that he was involved in the mid-70s. Very sadly, he's no longer with us, having died over 20 years ago, but I do feel these events need to be aired and forgiveness granted anyway. Peter, not his real name, worked at the time for a small regional newspaper based in a picturesque town in Sussex. He sold advertising space, and this ranged from small ads to full-page ads for local firms. There had already been an incident when a whole order of T-shirts advertising the paper had to be scrapped. These T-shirts carried the name of the paper, followed by the legend, "Have it through your letterbox every morning." And it had been decided by top management that this was a little bit risque. And so they decided to get rid of all the T-shirts. They're probably worth quite a bit of money.
Yes.
The events I specifically seek forgiveness for on my brother's behalf involved the small ads, something my brother and his colleagues found something of a nuisance as they sought the big-time half- and full-page ads. That's what they wanted. They didn't want the small, fiddling, piddling ones. They wanted the great, big, enormous ones. The first incident had involved a complaint from a Mrs. Austin. She, as you might imagine, had been very upset to find her husband's obituary in the used car column. Either that's true or it's just a very good apocryphal story.
No, very good.
Let's assume that that's absolutely right. Because local papers are full of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Short while later, sounds disapproving already. A short while later, things got worse. The paper carried a Lonely Hearts column. People would submit their request to meet someone and a P.O. box number would be assigned. I'm going to have to explain to Holly what a P.O. box number is. would it be assigned to maintain anonymity and allow any interested parties to contact the person seeking company, love, whatever else? Everyone wanted someone with a good sense of humour and a non-smoker. That was standard. In what would be considered today a serious GDPR breach, the advertising team had mislaid the PO Box number for one of the Lonely Hearts ads. This particular person was single, looking for love and fun times with a view to a longer-term relationship. It was decided that in the light of the missing PO Box number, they would simply display this gentleman's name and telephone
Why
number.
Why not?
And address.
Fine.
One morning, one morning soon after publication, my brother was summoned to reception, where there appeared to be something of an altercation. He was greeted by the sight of a very irate lady demanding to know who was responsible for this small man. It transpired that she was the gentleman in question's wife and was very understandably upset. She'd had calls all morning and visitors too, all apparently seeking love and fun times, no questions asked.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
No questions asked.
She was fuming, and you can see why. It will not surprise you to learn that my brother moved on to other things and then had a very successful career away from advertising. Mm. Felt I needed to put this tale into the public domain and to ask that Peter might be forgiven for the slightly slipshod approach to the cut and thrust of newspaper advertising. I think slipshod approach is exactly the right phrase there. Bill, thank you very much indeed. Local newspapers, very good. I'd like to get into this realm. I'm sure there'll be a few more confessions in this area. Sister Susie speaks first, though.
Yes, Bill. I just, I don't know what to say here at all, apart from God, don't think I can forgive him. Your brother Peter, you know, I can't say, you know, it wasn't, I guess it wasn't his fault, because the man shouldn't have put the advert in the Lonely Hearts column if he had a wife, but that's a whole other story for another matter. But putting his telephone number and address in there, surely, yes, GDPR, not allowed. Just danger, I think that one is. So
Danger,
high voltage.
Is that Peter? I'm calling because I wanted some love and fun times. No questions asked.
Not forgiven.
Brother with a fewer morals.
Well, I'm going to forgive, but for a very similar reason to Susie's, because, you know, there is a bit of cosmic karma, isn't there, for this husband who's, he shouldn't have been doing that, should he? Then he got found out. So, yeah, what goes around comes around. And obviously he'll have been flattered by the attention, I guess, with all these people turning up for the fun times with no questions. So I'm going to forgive bluntly for the have it through your letterbox. That alone gets it forgiven as far as I'm concerned. And so, yes, forgiven.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Did you actually say cosmic karma?
Yeah. Cosmic karma there,
made a note
that's
of that.
Very much, anyone who knows me knows I'm massively into both the cosmos and the karma. So the two of them coming together. Yeah.
Light a candle when you see Matt coming.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bill's confession on behalf of his brother Pete led to Steve getting in touch with this. Hi, Simon and team. The slogan, have it through your letterbox, reminded me of a friend from the 1970s. He was the department manager of the haberdashery department at a posh Manchester department store. Christmas does not boost sales in haberdashery very much, so he asked for the marketing team to help. They set up a display with a small mannequin holding a bolt of cloth with a large sign saying, "Husbands, give your wife a length for Christmas."
Oh, my goodness.
It took a few days before someone twigged it was removed. Stephen Newbright.
Oh, dear. No. I mean, I can't believe they didn't know. No, we don't get it either, so...
It's a length of cloth.
People
who quite like a length of cloth for Christmas.
A length of cloth for Christmas.
Well, thanks for that email. Anyway.
Thanks, Stephen, you bright.
Moving on.
Before we head back to another confession, it's time to catch up with the new bits and pieces on the parish notice board. Starting with this from Tom. Dear Simon, Matt, Susie and Holly, I have been a devoted listener to Confessions for many years. I would, at semi-regular intervals, listen to the entire back catalogue of old episodes of Confessions available on iTunes. As such, I have committed a great many of them to memory, becoming something of an archive attendant. Last week, during the Mark Knopfler section of the notice board, Simon repeated the warning that laxative confessions simply never make it onto the show. It is my great delight to inform you
that one did.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Back in October 2017, a confession was sent in by a student nurse who described how she had prepared a male patient for surgery. Aside from giving him a nipple-to-knee shave with the world's cheapest razor...
Oh, yes, I remember.
She also gave him a whole jug of laxative to ensure he was, you know, empty for his procedure.
Yeah,
this is, well, this is all okay. This
yeah,
is all right.
We're all yeah. fine so
medically
far.
Applied.
Correct.
The punchline of the story came when the nurse discovered she had mistaken this now shaven, hollowed-out man for another patient, and all he was in for was the removal of an ingrowing toenail.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that.
Apparently, the man had at no point protested.
That's what I don't understand.
I was very understanding when the nurse told him about the mistake.
Yeah.
This was one of my favourite confessions, as in part for Matt's laughter, the sheer volume of laxative consumed. So there we have it. In the future, when we're asked the question, have laxatives ever made it onto the show? The answer is yes, once. And I think that kind of thing would get through again because it was applied properly, not to get someone owned. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, it was
part
just
of
a
the
mistake.
Job. Yeah, she just did it to the wrong person.
Tom says, big thank you to all four of you for your continued work in bringing mirth and merriment to the nation. If you should have any queries regarding old stories or recalling old details, feel free to call out the archive attendant on the podcast and I'll see what I can find amongst the catacombs. Sister Holly, may I please have a mug to help me in my endeavours? Much love and best wishes, Tom. Before you answer that, Holly, P.S. I mean, Tom's been going on a while, but he's got something else to offer.
Yes, all right. Keep going, Tom.
A few weeks ago, you were discussing the Mr. Happy versus the Wasp confession.
Yeah.
For clarification of the details, Mr. Happy was, in fact, stung by the Wasp.
Yes.
The man's wife, who was heavily pregnant and naked at the time, flicked the Wasp off Mr. Happy with her fingers, not the towel.
Ooh.
Mr. Happy was, for the purposes of decency, renamed Malcolm for the remainder of the story, okay. resulting in the incredible line, Malcolm's head had begun to swell.
Oh my How did we get these through? Goodness
me. I
don't remember that part of it, no. That's good. It's good that someone knows all the archives, so that because we are often getting these wrong.
That's great. And Tom is offering, as far as I can tell, he's offering his services
for free, which
is great.
As well, a mug.
A mug.
A mug is always asking.
Holly, is that okay?
Absolutely, yeah. He's a pretty hardcore devoted fan, so absolutely a mug will be sent to him.
I think so. And thank you for... So, you know, laxative confessions, fine if used medically.
Yes, that's what... And in jugs. So that's fine.
Yes, I mean, that is an awful lot, but that is the amount that you consume if you want to empty a patient.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay. I don't think it... Right, anyway, I'm not
going
to...
Go
gonna,
on.
No.
Go on.
I'm not going to get into how much is...
What, you don't think you need the volume?
I don't think you do. I mean, how big... I can think of a jug size, and I don't think there's... That's a lot to take in. Anyway,
if you're a GP or a nurse, please write just to tell Matt that he's wrong.
Empty out your average patient.
Matt,
how many?
What? Let's move on to more solid ground.
Let's. I have an email here from Kevin who says, "Dear Simon and crew, I thought I'd be cheeky and write in to request a mug. My reasoning being that when Simon was presenting the Confessions TV program, I provided what I think anyway was one of the best segments.
Oh, yeah.
The segment in question relates to my Uncle Al, who was a bit of a Jim Bowen lookalike and had fooled several people into buying him pints on the basis that he was actually Jim Bowen. The best part was where Jim himself came from behind the curtains at the end. My wife Christine and I even came to see the show being recorded, and we still have a photo of us with Simon. Alas, like Jim, my uncle is no longer with us, having died earlier this year. I still listen to Drive Time when possible, and also to Ken, whom I wrote to in January and was invited to participate in his Golden Year segment. My year was 1984. It would be great to get a mug which would only slightly overshadow the photo that Ken sent me. Keep entertaining all your listeners.
He's
best regards.
What,
Ken,
he's playing
off.
Look what Ken did. Can you do better?
Can you?
Yeah.
So if we send him something from the tack cupboard, the next thing
he's going to go back to Ken.
Or Richard Allenson will be reading out something. Oh, I've got something from Kevin here saying, well, Ken sent me this, Simon sent me that. Can you do better? So what have we got?
I could give him a postcard, a signed postcard, which is very nice.
It is.
Or I could, in theory, send him a mug. I mean, I don't really... Jim Bowen, like... Who's Jim Bowen?
You don't know who Jim Bowen is?
Oh, my God.
Jim Bowen presented Bullseye.
Bullseye.
Very, very, yes. very, very, very famous TV presenter.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Very, very Holly.
Huge.
Very, very.
Yeah. You remember Bullseye, definitely.
Yes.
Thorn with the boat, where they won a boat at the end.
Yes.
And how do they slip
and
the
they
boat?
And they live in a flat.
Live in Wolverhampton. Yes.
There we go. Speedboat.
Anyway, Kevin, thank you very much indeed for getting in touch. We appreciate that. And obviously, Holly will be in touch with your winnings. No, not winnings, because that implies it's competition.
Yeah, it's not.
With out of our generosity, gift. What we're going to send you, it's a gift.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oof, I think we've avoided going on a course there.
Okay.
Susie, what have you spotted on our notice board?
Well, I've got something here that's come all the way from down under. It says, Dear Father Simon, Sister Susie, Holly, and of course, Brother from Another Gutter, Matt, thank you so much for reading out our Blue Sky message and for the offer of some tat. After some deliberation, though, we thought we'd send the address of the fabulous Gillian, our sister, in the UK to save your postage budget. And would have the extra bonus of being very confusing for her. She's a fan, but a few weeks behind catching up on the podcast, so she wouldn't know that it was coming. A mug would be very much appreciated and well used. And then he does say her address is Gillian Rees, and I've redacted.
23 Arcadia Avenue.
Yes.
Many thanks and keep up the good work. And then they've also sent a photograph, which is where they listen to the show. And it says, it's Hilarity in Paradise is where Return to Paradise is filmed, aka Thirroul in New South Wales. Many thanks again from the congregation down under, John and Russell.
It looks
beautiful.
Like, well, it looks like a scrappy bit of land, really.
Does it?
The sea looks nice.
The sea does look.
Are we
in a lay-by?
The sky.
That looks like a lay-by.
There's no clouds.
No. There's no clouds. That's true.
You've got nice lay-bys in Southgate.
Yeah,
that's
very
all
nice.
I'm saying.
Yes, yeah. Quite right.
Send your additions to the notice board, please, with pins to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions now to Mark Collins, Sarah Gray, Steve Elliott, and Andrew Richardson. Liam as well, who tweeted or blue skied or threaded or just called in at reception to tell us that the secret phrase from last week was shaken vac hamster.
Yeah.
Obviously it makes no sense at all unless you were listening.
Of course.
Last week.
Yeah,
Matt will have another new code word at the end of this podcast. Now it's time to head to the Mark Knopfler section of the programme. This is the Not For Broadcast Confessions. To see the ones that Susie, in her oppressive role as censor, decided they would not make the cut for this. So I haven't seen these. These are the ones that are just arbitrarily, but with sound wisdom.
Yes. Arbitrarily, but for a good reason.
Yes.
Not included.
Have been censored. Jane. Customer service is hard, we know that, especially when you have to deal with irate and angry customers. But just because you have an angry man shouting at you doesn't mean you can shout back.
Doesn't it? I don't know.
Especially when they involve you exchanging curse words that we couldn't even say on this part of the podcast, never mind on drive time. Two wrongs don't make a right. I love the idea of ringing up customer service and complaining and them just shouting and swearing.
Fair enough.
Also,
language.
Mark. Pun?
I said language.
Language,
yeah,
Timothy.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's an old...
Another reference there for Holly.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Jim Bowen and Ronnie Corbett.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Straight
dead
over.
Comics. That's what we're specialising in. Do you remember Ronnie Corbett?
Yes, but I don't know the reference.
Okay, I'll show you. So, Mark, it may have been Easter Sunday and all the shops might have been closed, so you had no other choice but serving your sister-in-law two-day-old meat because you didn't have enough to go round... was never going to be okay, especially as the reason you didn't have enough was because you'd got a little peckish earlier in the day while the good meat was resting. She might have been a fussy eater and probably wasn't going to eat it anyway, but it's against health and safety and could have caused a lot of DMV. DMV?
Oh, thingy and...
Distress and virtue?
No. Diarrhea and vomiting.
Diarrhea and vomiting.
Yes, there it is.
I mean, serving your sister-in-law old meat, is that okay? That would have been okay.
Two-day-old meat? That's not bad, is it? Meat from 2 days ago? I mean...
You didn't read the rest of what happened afterwards.
Oh, really? Oh, he'd done something else.
Oh, I see.
Else
it was
meat.
A lot of D and V. Was it quite a... Was it more V or D? Not V.
Why would you want to know?
Well, I'm just wondering how gross it was.
I think it was D.
Mainly D with a hint of V.
With a little sprinkling. A little sprinkling of V.
A V coolie.
V coolie. On the side.
Goodness me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Feels like this link is going on for a while.
Are we still going? Apparently we are.
Yeah. My favourite ones are the ones where we actually just can't get anywhere because we have found something very funny, even if no one else does. Jackie Brambles and I got into trouble once on breakfast at Radio 1 because we were finding each other very funny. Which is kind of part of, if you wake up very early a lot, you get hysterical. Brambles and I just got hysterical about, I can't even remember what it was, but she just found it hilarious, and management came in all brusque and managementy and went, not funny. We went, funny. And that was the end of that.
Actually.
Beg to differ.
Let's get back to those that made the cut with Nobby's confession. Hold a chicken in the air, stick a deck chair up your nose. Spitting image, number one.
Yeah,
song,
it was
Holly.
Number one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know that one either. I think that was before me.
It was huge. No, it was the 80s.
Spitting image number one.
It was definitely number one, yeah.
And you don't know it?
Well.
Chicken song, no?
Yeah, it's called the chicken song. Very imaginative, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Father Simon and the Forgiveness Collective says, Nobby, I'm an avid listener to Confessions. I have been for many years across many stations. This particular misadventure took place in the picturesque city of Christchurch in New Zealand's South Island in the late 1990s. As a 26-year-old backpacker, life was good back then. I was bungee jumping, snowboarding and drinking my way through the backpacker's budget like a true thrill seeker. Unfortunately, those thrills weren't cheap, and before long I had to resort to the one thing I'd sworn I would escape from, and that's work. That's right, Father Simon, the big escape turned into a parade of odd jobs. I worked at a brewery, free beer, a bakery, free bread, and packed boxes in a warehouse. Free boxes.
Excellent.
As well as other less interesting jobs. And then there were the whispers in the wind about the two most coveted jobs, working in an ice cream factory, the Holy Grail, or if you were down on your luck, the dreaded chicken factory. But so far, this time, with my funds as low as my expectations, my fate was sealed. I landed a shift at the infamous chicken factory. And when I say shift, I mean singular shift, the only one I'd ever make. In a soothing Kiwi accent...
Oh, here it comes, everyone.
The job recruiter reassured me. Don't worry, it's not that bad, mate. It's Ange Ball time.
It is.
It's only a shift in the freezer department.
Department?
There's no guts or anything like that. You'll be fine.
Oh, no. Cape Town already. Anyway,
It wasn't it, yes. Anyway, it sounded simple enough. So I turned up bright and early, was rushed through security, and was shown to my workplace, a freezer loading room in the middle of a large warehouse. For a moment, I thought, this isn't so bad. It was just me and another guy loading boxes of fresh chicken from one conveyor belt onto another conveyor belt that whisked them away into the freezer. Easy peasy. As a fast-talking Kiwi bloke barked orders at me, top shelf for fast freeze small box, middle shelf for a chilled medium box, bottom shelf for deep freeze large box. It's that straightforward.
Straightforward.
Sorry. He's German.
I nodded along, pretending I had a clue what was happening. After about 10 minutes, my partner in crime declared that he was off for a smoko, a tea break, but he called it a smoko. Mm-hmm. And just like that, I was left alone with a conveyor belt system that did not understand the meaning of the word pause. Now, in my defence, I would like to add that with two people, this job was a doddle. However, with one person, you had to work and think fast. I thought to myself, well, this is a piece of cake. But how wrong I was. My overconfidence quickly led me astray. I grabbed a medium-sized box and, without a second thought, placed it on the top shelf. But as I reached to correct my blunder, because that was wrong according to the rules, a metal grab bar came crashing down, trapping the box, and attempted to pull the box into the freezer. Time slowed to a crawl. Metal screeched, gears ground, and the whole freezer mechanism ground to a halt. Oh, bother. I muttered, realising I had just committed poultry-based industrial sabotage. But there was no time to dwell on my frozen foul faux pas. The supply conveyor... No foul, no... That's going to be that one.
Yeah, let's go.
The supply conveyor belt, oblivious to my panic, kept delivering more boxes of fresh chicken. More. I stacked them on the floor as quickly as I could, but there was only so much room. And soon enough, they started falling off the belt, spilling raw chicken everywhere. At this point, I was looking around, half expecting Jeremy Beadle to pop help out with a camera crew.
Wow.
Explain that one to Holly.
Yes.
But no, this is my own personal chicken apocalypse. In desperation, I ran out of the loading area and I found relaxed Kiwi dude on the forklift having a smoko. Who could not have cared less about my chicken crisis? Between drags of his roll-up fag, he said, I'll just load this pallet, mate, then I'll have a look. When he finally sauntered over to the freezer, the sight of spilled chicken everywhere nearly made him keel over with laughter. He hit the stop button on the conveyor belt, which was, of course, cunningly hidden right there in plain sight. That button didn't just stop my conveyor belt, though. It stopped the entire chicken operation. The whole factory closed down. The live chicken loaders, the pluckers, the preparing people everywhere. Soon enough, the whole factory workforce descended on my little freezer room to witness the carnage. People were lining up just to look at the chaos I created. I was sat right in the middle of it all, with maintenance staff muttering things like, I've never seen anything like this before. Because they came from Watford.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
This is going to take weeks to fix. Do we have any spares? I could feel all the judging eyes on me, glaring, bewildered, pitying. And just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, my so-called colleague reappeared saying, I only left him for 20 minutes. This is all he's doing, giving up on his South African accent. Yeah. At that moment, I decided it was time for my only sensible option, a slow and discreet exit. With my head bowed, I slowly edged towards the door. Then, with the stealth of a ninja in a thermal jacket, I bolted out of there, throwing my jacket back at security as I sprinted to my car and fled the scene. A couple of hours later, the phone rang at our shared house. Reluctantly, I answered it was the job recruiter, laughing her head off. She told me that the chicken factory explained the situation and had predictably filed a complaint about the new pommy bloke who broke their freezer. So, Father Simon, I know I've committed a great wrong on so many levels. I'm not really sorry. All I need is forgiveness from the job recruiter, who no doubt had this hanging over her for a while. And as for everyone else, I'm sure they're still dining out on this tale of paltry pandemonium. I feel he likes his alliteration slightly too much.
He does. I like it now.
Does Nobby. But what do you make of that, Sister Susie? What do you say to Nobby Trousers?
Well, Nobby, I did like his alliteration. I appreciate that very much. And you know what? It was a disaster. You know, there's no doubt about that. However, it seemed like a very important job that they left you with, and that, you know, maybe there should have been two people, I feel. Mm. So I feel like maybe that person that went for his smoko should have been replaced with someone covering.
Just the
because
system.
I don't think I would have been able to keep up either. So I think I'm going to forgive Nobby.
Yeah.
Brother
there
Matthew.
It is. I agree. I'm going to forgive. Because this conveyor belt's the thing that's at fault, isn't it? It's the system again. Basically, it's got two speeds. It's got carnage and completely stopped. And it only works if you've got two people on the conveyor belt and your man had gone off for a smoko, so Nobby was left on his first day. How does that work? So, yes, definitely forgiven. And,
so the chicken apocalypse is forgiven.
No harm, no foul.
Okay, I thought we'd get there at the end.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I teed that one up, though.
You did, but it was still genius.
Do you think?
No,
Also, I just like to say, a New Zealand accent is particularly difficult because it's like a Canadian accent. It's sort of an American accent, but slightly wrong. Mm. So an Australian accent, you do the Aussie accent, but just do it slightly twangy.
So the comedian Alan Davis says that the New Zealand accent, basically all you do is you take out all the vowels. New Zealand. So you just take out all the vowels. Then
now
was that you doing a New Zealand accent?
Wow.
Hey, oh yeah. And next week, how to do Sean Connery.
Nice. Are those your two?
Yeah.
Still to come on the Confessions podcast, we are essentially heading for a booze cruise for Ronald's confession, The Smuggler's Blues, but not before Mummy Sarah's confession, I Love Your Smile. Do 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 do.
Voice of an angel.
Shh, shh, shh. We won't tell anyone. What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Simon, Matt, Holly, Susie, and everyone else who is holy enough to be included. That's us, apart from Nigel, who definitely isn't. So many stories. I'm sending this confession on behalf of my terrible daughter, who, having discussed this incident with her today, still feels absolutely no remorse and still laughs like a drain when I remind her.
Oh, right. Wow.
So it serves her right, whatever's coming her way.
Yep.
Thanks, Mummy Sarah. This is the problem, Father Simon, with children these days. Their moral compass, if it ever exists, is now wonky. It's been reset by wickedness and immorality.
In the good old days, things like this would not have happened. And if they did, they'd have been covered up. There you go.
Okay.
It's a little...
little editorial there. Yep.
My confession goes back a few years. It was a peaceful afternoon. My daughter uttered those classic words. Yeah, Mum, I'm hungry.
Whoa!
Yeah. Mum, I'm hungry! There's nothing to eat. What can I eat? I want to... I don't have cereal. Well, you know what kids are like. They can't see what's in front of them. And all the whinging. And they're in the kitchen. Anyway, I decided to put her out of her misery and go and rustle up something fantastic for lunch. However, when I arrived in the kitchen, I opened the fridge and realised that she was right. There was, in fact, nothing to eat. It seemed like a trip to the local supermarket was actually going to be on the cards. However, I'd have to confess that I do hate supermarkets. Well, it's not the supermarkets themselves, but it's the people who go shopping in supermarkets. You know, the ones that walk really, really slowly and get in your way. Or stop for no reason in the middle of the aisle and then block it for everybody else, and then they mutter strangely. You know the sort. I would do anything to avoid this, which is why I did my regular shop online and had it delivered to my... This is a slight detour. delivered to my door by a van with a big fruit or vegetable on it. The red tomato is my favourite one. Anyway, I digress. Yes. This week, I must have been distracted and hadn't got round to do the booking an online slot, so I was going to have to put on my big girl pants and shop with the normal people. More about my pants in just a moment.
Let's hope not.
Anyway, no, there will be, I'm afraid. Oh, before we headed out, I decided to pay a swift visit to the toilet prior to departure. Then I wouldn't have to use the facilities in the supermarket.
Goodness me, the level of detail in this.
And extend my visit any longer than it needed to be, because, as we all know, public toilets are terrible.
Yes.
Particularly the ones that, according to a chart, are inspected every hour. Ha! Who inspects them? Blind mole rats or what? Anyway, so I used my own toilet. I used my own loo. It didn't take me long, if you see what I mean. One penny and not two pennies.
Yes,
I pulled up my lower garments. There you go.
What? Okay.
I washed my hands. I called to my daughter. And then we were off and we walked to the shops. However, I had no idea that that little plastic unit, which was attached to the rim of the loo pan, promising spring freshness, had hooked itself to the back of my jeans as I stood up.
Oh, dear.
I'm not quite sure how this has worked. My daughter knew full well. However, she didn't tell me. I then carried out a big shop while sporting a plastic toilet refreshener on my rear end. In full view of my fellow shoppers, it was flapping up and down, but I didn't feel it. They admired it, though, and in my innocence, I simply thought that everyone looked particularly happy that day.
Wow.
No, they were laughing at my bottom. In many ways, though, I spread joy. That's what I like to think. Yeah. Firstly, I spread the smell of pine tree freshness with hints of tangerine and mandarin essential oils up and down the aisles of the supermarket.
Up and down.
And secondly, everyone was laughing at me and my fragrant bottom. So, daughter, darling, I still love you dearly, but one day I will get my revenge. Which is a good thing, because that means we'll get another confession out of it.
Yes.
Because then a ghastly daughter will have to write in another confession, like from the view from the other side of things. Anyway, but it's Mummy Sarah, and that is a very embarrassing thing to have. Because they're strange things, those toilets. I didn't know anybody had those in their homes, but anyway, I think it's a wicked child we're talking about here. A wicked child.
Well, they hook on to the like rim, but then you've got your toilet seat.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe she went to the toilet with the toilet seat up. Who knows? Who knows? But I think
life is full of many. we're all different.
We're all different. Maybe she was in a rush and didn't realise. I think that it is quite funny. However, if that was me, I would have wanted my daughter to let me know that I had an air freshener, toilet freshener stuck to my bottom. And do you know what? Someone in the supermarket could have told her as well. One of
not
those
quite
people
sure
that
about
stop.
The mechanics of it, but it must have... She must have been
I reckon
angled.
She's lipped her back of her jeans over the lip of the toilet bowl.
Yes.
What? Who does that?
And then... well, she was
over
in a rush,
the lip of the toilet bowl,
pulling them back up really quickly.
We're all different.
I am not forgiving the
lessons
daughter.
Lessons to learn, haven't we, about how to go to the loo?
I thought women hovered. Anyway, what is...
Anyway, let's move on. And so I'm going to forgive.
Because of the daughter.
Why?
Well, she's... What was she doing? Should have mentioned something with the thing. And I wouldn't mention it to someone in the supermarket, but for that reason, where are we going now? Something else, probably. So I'm going to forgive.
Excuse me, madam, you've got an air freshener on your right buttock. Anyway.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Today's confession comes from Ronald. All right, Ron. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective. This confession relates to a school holiday, which I believe was around 53 years ago, when what used to be the fourth year juniors, I think that's now like year 16, were taken by the local Church of England Junior School to either Holland or Belgium for a week's educational trip. This particular year, it was Belgium. In those days, the duty-free alcoholic drinks rules were attractive, and the teachers made use of this perk by purchasing various bottles of alcohol to take home. Well, it became clear from several years' experience that buying said alcohol on the boat on the way out was a better deal with more choice and allowed them to surreptitiously drink from some of the hall once the kids had all gone to bed each evening. I can't believe that of teachers when they're off duty.
Surely not, yeah.
They would then take the remainder home after the holiday. This particular year, somehow, too much was purchased on the boat going over and innocently carried through customs without being noticed, and then not enough drunk to reduce the total to what was legal for 10 teachers to bring back.
How much have they bought?
Must have taken
10 teachers.
A stack.
Oh my.
Innocent though the error may have been, they now knew they had a problem and feared getting caught. What would it look like in the local paper if 10 upright teachers were found to be smuggling booze? Should they leave the excess in Belgium? The deputy headmistress, a church-going woman with strict morals and a sharp tongue for any child who stepped out of line, but also a lover of gin, came up with a cunning plan to overcome this small difficulty without leaving a drop behind. This was to secrete the excess booze into a child's suitcase.
Okay.
But who would they select? The answer was obvious. I shared a surname with the deputy headmistress by virtue of being her daughter, her son. We can put it in...
Ronald's
case. Yes. No one will stop Ronald, she reasoned. Although now over 6 foot, I was possibly the smallest 11-year-old on the trip. And in those days, we had proper suitcases, and mine was almost as tall as I was. In addition, so they could spot us all, we had to wear red and black striped woolly hats with a red pom-pom all holiday, whatever the weather. So picture this. I was instructed not to look guilty, not to do anything stupid, which was a foul slur because I never did anything stupid, and to walk nonchalantly through the customs area at the port in my red and black bobble hat with its pom-pom. I might add as a slight aside that the day we visited Brussels, we'd been taken to a cafe on the main square for pop in a bottle with a straw. No blowing down the straw, remember we're English, and the honour of the whole of Great Britain is on your shoulders, declared my mother. Well, as soon as she turned round, someone blew into their Coke. Other drinks were available. And of course, I got the blame, even though being sensible, I hadn't done it. Go and stand in the middle of the square and stay there until I fetch you. And whilst you're there, consider your actions, said Mother, now incensed. She was even more cross when the headmaster rescued me and took me with him to the bank and bought me an ice cream on the way back. Anyway, back to Ostend.
Yes.
It's a whole family drama in here.
Yeah, yeah.
The suitcase was already too big for me to carry and now had 2 litres of vodka and gin inside it. And I had my stupid hat on. So my attempt at nonchalant and carefree was a struggle. I lugged the suitcase alongside me. You're about as successful as a Springer Spaniel with a 6-foot-wide stick in its mouth going, look at me, look at me. I invite all listeners to deliberately walk nonchalantly. The more you try, the more stupid you look. I think I swaggered like a tiny Liam Gallagher in a bobble hat with a pom-pom.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah, no thanks.
However, there were about 50 of us, and maybe the Belgian customs officers had seen school trips before. So they waved us all through, and I avoided a prison sentence for underage smuggling of illicit booze, even though
I think it would have been my mother that copped it. Mm-hmm. So, Father Simon and the Holy Crew, I beg forgiveness to HM Customs and Excise for tax avoidance. They'll definitely be after you. On a litre of gin and a litre of vodka. And I also seek forgiveness for my late mother for devising the illicit scheme for her 9 colleagues, including the headmaster, who allowed this foul calumny to occur, and for suggesting I might do something stupid and get her into trouble. Well, I suspect this kind of thing happens quite a lot when the teachers realise they've got to sort of try to get their illicit wares into the country somehow. Anyway, it's a tale from 53 years ago. Let's see if Sister Susie is feeling any kind of forgiveness.
Well, Ronald, I do feel like it probably was your mum that needs to ask forgiveness really here and not you, because I think you were just doing what you were told, really. Yes. So I feel like I give you forgiveness, Ronald, but I'm not sure I give your mum forgiveness or any of the teachers. They should have known better. And also, you don't necessarily need to buy all of your cheap booze from customs, and you should go to your local pub,
of course.
Your money there. So I'm not going to forgive you, Mum, but I will forgive you.
I like
Ronald.
The description of a church-going woman with strict morals, a sharp tongue, and a love of gin.
And a love of gin.
There you go.
We all know them.
Gin and tonic, obviously best served at the pub. But what do you say, Brian?
Yes,
Matthew?
We all love our gin. I'm going to forgive. I mean, was this a school trip or a booze cruise? It felt. I mean, there's like 10 of the teachers, and they've exceeded their allowance.
Yes.
I mean, how much beer is that? And vodka and gin. And the rest of it. Mind you, though, they are having to deal with the kids. And so, yes, oh my goodness. Imagine having to deal with the kids. Mm-hmm. There'll be loads of them and they just won't shut up. So, yes, I'll have some more gin, thanks. So for that reason, everyone gets forgiven because of, you know, kids.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
I don't like gin, by the way.
You don't like gin?
No, no. You really? Say we all like gin. We don't all like gin.
Oh. No.
I think that they're...
Holly? No, I don't like gin.
You don't like gin
no.
either?
50-50.
No. Wow, that's
well,
amazing.
Their gin has very many flavours within it, so I feel like there probably is a gin that you will like.
I don't need another
that
vice.
That just has different botanicals. Tarnishing it all with the same brush is not particularly fair. Yeah.
You just want a bitter lemon, really.
And have I received a bitter lemon? I have not.
No.
Man of simple taste. Anyway, thank you very much indeed for listening to our podcast. If you have a confession, maybe prompted by one of the ones you've listened to, send it in, please. confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. We'll exchange it for a smart speaker. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is D&V Cooley. D&V Cooley.
Is that, and Cooley is C-O-U-L-I-S?
It is, yes. Well, that's how it comes in the fancy restaurants. Is it?
That you
I'm
are.
Looking at you. I don't know. I just say yes.
D&V Coolis.
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 That's the one.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
Yes, that's what it is. So if you've listened this far, you can tweet me that on Twitter, and you can thread it on Threads. Also, you can Blue Sky on Blue Sky, where all the cool people are. Finally, don't forget to follow the podcast to make sure you receive all of our fabulous updates. Until next time, from the pub, but actually in the studio, this time as a special bonus, Sister Susie says...
Goodbye.
Sister Holly says...
Hasta la vista, baby.
From the... Brother Matt says...
Bye.
Pardon?
Bye.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yep.
A little bit brusque.
Thought so.
Thanks very much indeed for listening. There'll be another podcast for you next Friday.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
No, you buy 100 candles for that.
100 candles? 4 candles?
I think...
Brilliant. Here's my guess. This is being edited out.
Yes, it is.
I'm not having this going out.